Welcome to episode 123 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live April 26th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, we dive into Office 365 news revolving around the modern UI in SharePoint, as well as some updates around managing end-user applications in Office 365.
Go. Ice cream. I'm always ready, except
ice
when
cream?
I'm not.
You scream.
Ben screams for ice cream.
That was some delicious ice cream last night.
You should always have ice cream around. I saw somebody was tweeting about, you know, make sure you always have emergency ice cream in your freezer just in case, you know, you have a bad day and you feel like you need it. And I thought that was just a great idea.
It is, especially so when Breyers has, like Breyers does BOGOs, we'll get like 8 cartons of ice cream.
Breyers.
And it is a wonderful thing.
Breyers. No, no, no. Ben and Jerry's, man. All the way.
Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah.
So we've been doing the Breyers all natural, or not all natural, home style? I can't remember. Breyers has a certain brand that their vanilla ice cream, and it literally is like true vanilla ice cream where it has 5 ingredients. It's like sugar, cream, milk, and there's no extra added stuff. So it makes it healthy ice cream, right?
Sure. Absolutely. All ice cream is healthy. It is mentally stimulating, good stuff, brain freeze, and sugar. You got to go for it.
Yes.
Even when it's natural sugar.
So, and even vanilla, like I do the vanilla and I put some chocolate syrup on it and some chocolate chips and it is delicious. I don't know. My favorite though, is it Ben and Jerry's? Is it theirs that's the fish food?
Yes.
Ice cream?
Yes, it
is.
Oh,
that is good ice cream. Then I will go for Ben and Jerry's.
Good man. You're getting there. You're learning.
All right. So with all this ice cream talk, we should have ice cream to celebrate because I just realized we have been doing this podcast for, I think it's been over 2 years. I think we started like middle, late March or early April, 2 years ago doing this podcast.
Not too shabby.
No, but that also means that I have talked to you every Friday or almost every Friday for 2 years.
And your life's better for it. You say
absolutely.
Like it's such a bad thing, but who knows?
The education
all those things.
The education we have given each other when you have shamed me for not knowing about a particular RSS feed or Twitter handle or...
Well, that's okay. I'm going to let you shame me today. So why don't we go ahead and get into it?
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. What should I shame you about first? Well, so first, we got another iTunes review. These are just kind of fun to read out because, one, we appreciate them. And it makes Scott feel good when you tell him he's doing such a good job. And Steve, the IT dude, gave us a comment and a review on iTunes. And we are apparently his news source now. He does not have to read the RSS feeds because he listens to you, Scott.
How far we've come.
Yes. He just said, essentially, thanks for the podcast. He submitted a question. I can't remember which question Steve, the IT dude, submitted, but it was one of them where we spent a whole episode on. So if anybody's listening and has a question, submit it because we love questions and we probably will spend a whole episode debating your question, arguing about your question, and hopefully giving you a little insight into your question throughout the process. So thank you, Steve, the IT dude, for the review in iTunes and the kind words. It's appreciated. It just gives us, like, it continues to give us motivation too to keep doing this after 2 years. Do you know that people actually do listen to us and appreciate us?
Yeah.
You're loved.
And
you're loved, Scott.
And we have some more stuff coming, right? We've got some interviews planned and some other fun things coming up. So stick around. There's always more.
And our remote coverage of the SharePoint conference, which I feel like that's impacted our news a little bit. I feel like Office 365 news in general has been a little slower with the impending announcements at the SharePoint conference. But needless to say, we do still have some 365 news, some SharePoint news to share with you today.
Awesome. Let's get into it. So, teach me some things.
Teach you some things. So the first one, and I have felt this pain, it is not rolled out to my tenant yet, but if anybody does SharePoint admin and Microsoft, I can't remember if they've actually switched it now. I know it's an option to set the new SharePoint Admin Center as your default admin center, but there are a lot of settings missing from the new SharePoint Admin Center. So I find myself jumping back and forth between the admin centers quite a bit. And I don't know, for me, it's kind of a pain to have one as the default, but I have to keep going back to the other one and jump back and forth. Microsoft is updating the new admin center to, I won't say bring the settings into the new admin center, but give you links to quickly jump to some of those old settings pages. So if you haven't seen it yet, in your new admin center in SharePoint, pretty soon underneath the advanced link in the left, we'll call it the quick launch because that's what it is for all SharePoint people, you will see classic options. I think it's classic options. Classic settings. My screenshot's too small to read. It'll show up underneath advanced, and it will give you links to things like the user profile service, to search, to apps. Some of those old settings that you couldn't get to or don't exist yet in the new admin center. And it's just like an open button to quickly link you to that particular setting back in the classic admin center, rather than having to, say, switch back to Classic and then navigate through Classic to find these settings. So just give you a little bit of nice, quick links to get back to those old settings. You should start seeing those in the next couple weeks or so. Those links will start showing up in your new admin center for SharePoint.
Which is good. It's been a big frustration. I know we're working through a lot of the new certification courseware. You know, again, I work for a training company, so it's something we kind of align to. And we have an author who's building out the, I forget which one it is, the MS-100 or the MS-300, but it's the one that has the pillar where like 40-45% of the test is SharePoint Online. And one of the things they test you on is search. And search is kind of a weird thing in SPO land right now, right? Because we have SharePoint search, we have Microsoft search, we have all these just different...
This could be a whole podcast episode. Should we do a podcast episode on the confusion of search in Office 365?
It's rough. And the author came back and said, you know, what do I do here? It's like, well, I don't know. I guess you got to teach them how to get from the new one and then teach them how to get to the old one. And then we need to talk about these deprecated features, which might not be there by the time somebody actually takes the test, but you still have to know about it because it's on the test. It puts everybody in a really interesting place. So it's good to see that they are surfacing some of that stuff. What would be really nice is, you know, if they took the time and just built it in, right? Like, we want these new modern UI and modern look and feel things, but there's not always the people time that you can put into that and kind of justify the investment and not only the, you know, monetary cost, but the human cost and the time it takes to update all of those along the way. Oh, I got another good one for you too when it comes to search, since we're talking about it.
Are we talking about it or are you going to rant about it?
No. Okay. This might be a little bit of a ranty thing, but I saw it was Joanne Klein was tweeting about this one, and it was something that when I saw it, it was like, that makes total sense, but it's totally stupid and probably shouldn't be the way it works. So there's all these features in Office 365 that rely on SharePoint Online search indices for going ahead and surfacing information. So if you think about something maybe like DLP or yep. e-discovery, so to run an e-discovery content search or to have data loss prevention policies that go ahead and work with your SharePoint content, the way it finds all that stuff is through the search index, right?
Yes. I think I know where you might be going with this. I haven't seen the tweet.
Yeah, so that all makes perfect sense, right? Search index is there and we have all this functionality that's built on it. Well, if you think about compliance, so particularly e-discovery being reliant on search there, what happens if somebody goes into a site collection and they turn off search? Because you can do that on a site collection by site collection basis.
Oh, that is not where I thought you were going, but that is a very excellent point.
Right. So somebody goes into a site collection and they say, you know, they go into, I think it's like search and offline availability, and they yep. say, I don't want this site to have any results that appear in search. Well, guess what? Now your site will not show up in e-discovery searches either.
Interesting. Well, and
that's not
you
good.
Could probably also share stuff then too, can't you, if DLP relies on it?
Correct. Yeah.
So this is where I thought you were going with this. And this is another one I've seen with DLP is just like you said, DLP relies on search. Well, how frequently does content get indexed in SharePoint Online? It is not instantaneous as to the moment you upload it.
Not so, even close to instantaneous.
If you upload a document that has a whole bunch of social security numbers, go click share or email like within the first 30 or 40 seconds, because let's face it, sometimes that's a reality where people are like, oh, I need to upload this so I can share it. DLP may not catch it because it has not been indexed yet.
Very, very, very true. And it's one of those things where you just kind of go in the back of your head, oh, yeah, well, it relies on search, of course. And I don't know the right way or the wrong way to handle that one, but I would think about a way to handle something like the offline search thing was, even if my site is offline for search, if that's what eDiscovery relies on to get the content out, then you have to put it in the index. You just have to mask it
right
on the search result.
And you just don't surface that part of the index. You put a flag in the index that says, don't surface this in like a normal UI search, only surface this when it comes from eDiscovery.
Yeah. So if you've been doing eDiscovery within your environment, you might actually want to enumerate all of your site collections and make sure they're in the index, or you might have content that is not available to you.
Yeah, the DLP one, I don't know how to fix that. You almost have to, you know how like certain services will OCR stuff on upload or when it gets loaded? You almost have to do that for DLP, where content would get indexed at the time of upload or scanned for regex matches or something like that for DLP, so that some of that stuff is caught immediately rather than the next time it searches it. I think continuous search is on, so in theory, it should be pretty quick. What I've seen is it's like 15 to 20 minutes or so, but when you're talking highly sensitive information, that's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. There's always weird kind of lag things. But
like I said, this could be a whole topic, because this doesn't even bring into the fact Microsoft Search and SharePoint Search and a bunch of stuff that...
We should get into that one on its own, because that is its own pillar of frustration.
Yes, I know it is being worked on. Maybe we'll see stuff... Maybe we should do that after the SharePoint conference, in case there's some stuff that comes out at the SharePoint conference about it.
Yeah.
I do not know. I have no insight. I am speculating, but we'll see. Upskillity is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. Back to the whole modern thing, because that's where this all originated, was with the modern UI and that transition to modern. It's been a little bit of a painful process. I feel my clients' pain, because a lot of times they're like, why does this work this way? Why does it work that way? And I'm like, well, it's because Microsoft is trying to change the whole UI, and they've been working at it for like a year and a half, and that's not all done yet, because they want to get stuff out. They want to get it there. They're trying to get away from this whole release a major update every 3 years and be a lot more agile. But when some of this stuff gets left in flux for like a year and a half or more, I don't even remember when the modern UI started in SharePoint, it can be painful. One of the painful ones, that there is a massive thread going on in the tech community about it, but there is an announcement, and it will be resolved here shortly, is modern UI for document sets. So this is one of those that has been languishing behind, is if you use document sets in a SharePoint library...
Hold on. Oh,
okay.
Can you hear my like golf clap in the background? Like, about frickin' time.
Yeah. If you want to see some rants about document sets, go look at this thread in tech community on it. There are quite the rants in there. If you need some entertainment to read ranty posts, because there's not enough of those online lately. But anyways, this is coming in the next, this month, in April, I believe, and I think it's rolling out in the next week or so here, is modern document sets will have an overhauled modern UI design so that if you are using document sets and you click into one of them, you'll get a fresh new modern UI look. I have not seen this yet. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but the rumors, the speculations, the roadmaps, the blog posts all indicate that this will be coming here very, very soon. It was supposed to be out last month, got bumped another month, but it looks like it's coming shortly.
Except for document set welcome pages. So if you have used welcome pages and customized those with in any way, so maybe you had extra web parts on there, because, you know, that's a thing that SharePoint did and still kind of sort of does, or maybe you had custom HTML to direct somebody through a process. I know lots of organizations did that, right? They aligned the whole process to the document set. Those will still be classic. So that might lead to a little bit of a jarring experience where the set itself sits in modern and the welcome page still sits in classic.
And it continues.
Well,
but we're getting close, right?
I feel like we should call all of those things out, though. Like, that is all part of it. You need to go down this path and recognize what you're getting yourself into.
Yep. The document sets are like the tortoise and the whole race of the tortoise and the hare. The only problem is, in this case, the tortoise didn't win. It's still losing. I don't know. That was a lame example. Anyways, yes, I agree. We definitely need to call all those out, make sure you know that it's coming. The document set, it is saying that it'll be able to be customized now using the SharePoint framework extensions like all the other modern list views. Versioning will be in the context menu on document set. So it will continue, but don't expect all of those old document sets on features on day one. Just like I ran into this with another client, the whole adding web parts to the welcome page, adding web parts to the new and edit forms in SharePoint. That was a thing in classic that doesn't exist in modern. Don't know if it ever will. But there are some of those things you definitely need to be aware of that change when you flip from one to the other.
Yeah. All right. So let's change it up a little bit and talk about something that is actually useful and GA'd and kind of sort of works the way it's supposed to.
PowerShell?
Really? We're going to talk about Git team. No, let's talk about the cloud-based management service for Pro Plus. So policy management around that and being able to, what this is, and for those of you who haven't taken a look at it, is you build kind of sort of, you could think of it as maybe like group policy, but it's not group policy. It's a policy that is aligned directly to the Office clients, specifically the Pro Plus clients that come with Office 365 licensing. And you build policy configurations where you enforce your organizational standards. Like, you know, we want to allow macros to run in this product, but not in this other product. We want add-ins to be in this one, not in this one. All those kinds of things. You build a policy. You target it to a security group in Azure Active Directory. And that could be a security group which is synced from on-premises, maybe through Azure Active Directory Connect or kind of other tooling that sits out there for synchronization. And boom, as soon as somebody signs in and authenticates to an Office 365 client, so they go into Word or PowerPoint or Excel or Access or whatever it happens to be, they go ahead and load that up. That policy is dynamically downloaded and applicable to their device. And it doesn't require any type of domain join, doesn't require any MDM, things like that. It's just driven out of this policy service and the association to a security group, which is super nifty and super cool. And this thing's been kind of kicking around on the back end for a while, and it's been out in preview, and it is now generally available.
Yeah, I like the fact too that the one that you called out there, and I think it's important for people to understand, is it doesn't require that whole domain join or MDM. So it means you can actually apply these policies without purchasing, I believe it's just it's included with Pro Plus. So you don't need to go out and purchase EMS or any additional licenses as long as you have a Pro Plus license.
Correct. Yeah. No, it's just sitting out there ready to go. So if you are, I would argue, even some bigger businesses that maybe do things in GPO today. If you're just doing kind of simple GPOs, here's an opportunity to lift that policy out and then have it in this service where now, because it's based on security group and user authentication and identity, now it's going to apply everywhere. So you might have even users who maybe they take advantage of like the home use program or the additional licensing that, you know, you get all those extra installs of Office for every one license that you assign to a user. So now the same policy can apply at work and at home. And that was something that was not possible in the past and now is.
Yeah, although we do need to call out, just like with the other one, this is for Windows Pro Plus only. I do not see anything. I see some questions about when is this going to come to Mac, but I don't believe this is supported for Mac. It is... what I'm seeing, it doesn't actually say either way.
Right. So there's that.
My assumption is it's only Windows, though.
Yep. You got to be careful if you use Intune as well. So you can have policy collisions, or maybe you have kind of duplicate policies across both of those services. And you have to understand that, say you had a really restrictive policy inside of Intune, and you had a less restrictive policy inside of this cloud policy service. Well, the one in cloud policy service is going to take precedence. So it's not like...
Is it? Interesting.
Yeah, so it's not...
I would have thought it would have been the other way.
Yeah.
The cloud policy takes precedence over Intune.
It does. So it's not like the most restrictive policy wins kind of thing either. It's basically, if you have a cloud policy in the cloud policy service and you have an Intune, it's going to take precedence over the Intune one.
All right. And you do need to have version 18.08. or higher of Office 365 Pro Plus. So this also doesn't go back and apply to older versions. It's not like it gets pushed out via group policy and it can go apply to, or not group policy, but get pushed out, registry changes, that type of stuff. This does require a certain version of Pro Plus. They have to be signed into Pro Plus using their Azure AD account because that's what syncs it all down. And it's not available quite everywhere yet. The 21 VNet, which I think that's China, right?
Correct.
China, Germany, government tenants don't support it yet, or tenants located in Australia, Brazil, Germany, India, or South Korea don't have this available yet. So it is generally available, kind of like some of the other ones we've talked about. It's generally available some places. I'd imagine it'll get pushed out to those other ones in time. But if you're in one of those locations, don't go look for this to be supported today.
Yeah, it's on the roadmap apparently, but just not kind of there yet. But if you have this need, so here's the thing, right? It's GA'd and it fills a need around Windows clients. Like if that's the game that you need to play and win at, this could potentially be a thing for you.
Yes, most definitely. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and/or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit. So another one related to security and managing devices and software on devices is Edge on iOS and Android. So the Edge browser, which this is going to get really confusing, Scott, because now we have the mobile Edge, we have the old Edge on Windows, and now we have the new Chromium-based Edge on Windows. I wonder how many different versions of the Edge browser we can come out with.
We're living on the edge.
All that aside, conditional access and single sign-on are now supported in Edge on iOS and Android. So if you are doing some of the Azure AD conditional access stuff, leveraging single sign-on, that is all supported now in the Edge browser. I don't know if the full mobile application management policies are supported yet. I was just flipping through this article a little bit because you do also have the managed browser on iOS and Android that you can leverage for certain application policies, app protection, that type of stuff. It looks like, as I'm flipping through this, Edge shows up there right next to the managed browser. It'll be interesting to see in time if that managed browser goes away. And it just becomes, essentially, Edge is that managed browser now for all of your Intune policies, conditional access policies, app protection stuff, all of that. I would imagine that's the goal, is to just get rid of managed browser and just have a single browser called Edge. But that is also now supported. So if you are doing some of that Intune management, the conditional access, other apps with single sign-on, and you were using the managed browser, go check out what you can do with the Edge browser. You may be able to transition some of that over if people want to use Edge on their mobile devices instead of the managed browser.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of user training that goes into that. Like if we think about using maybe a browser from something like Outlook on a mobile device, you're going to have to tell your users to go in and change the setting to make sure that they open links from their browser inside of Edge up front if you're not managing that through another setting or anything else along the way. But once you do that, then you'll get that device-based SSO and some of the other niceties that come along the way there.
Yep. And I was just looking through some other ones. Edge now supports the whole dual identities too. So the corporate account and personal account, kind of like you can do in OneDrive or Outlook, where you can add both accounts in there with that separation between the two identities. So if you are doing some of the mobile device management and you want to wipe out that corporate identity, sign them out on Edge, it looks like the whole application management stuff is supported. There's some configuration settings. You can set bookmarks, home pages, My Apps integration, Azure App Proxy stuff, personalization, productivity, browsing across mobile and desktop. I am not sure how that's going to keep working with all these different variations of the Edge browser, voice search, QR code, all of that. So a lot of those settings, features that you need for the application management are definitely showing up now in that new Edge browser.
Awesome. Yeah, so I think that probably takes us through most of our rant for today.
Yes, I think you're right. Let's do another show coming up on some of the new PowerShell stuff, because there's some new PowerShell stuff. Maybe we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, there's quite a bit out there, so there's a little bit of teaser.
Yes, we will whet people's appetite for tune in next week to hear all about PowerShell, CloudShell, and more text-based management in this UI world. How is that for a preview next week?
Good job.
Thanks. I try hard. I don't know if anybody is going to look forward to it, but hey, we do what we can. Well, thank you very much, Scott. Enjoy. By the time people hear this, Global Azure Bootcamp will be over, but that is where you and I will be tomorrow.
Yep.
Is doing the Global Azure Bootcamp in Jacksonville.
Cool.
So if you're listening to this, you missed it, watch for it next year. But enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow for the Global Azure Bootcamp.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.